tonight, Pastor Shibeli shares the message with a service tonight on special on this subject. Dr. Stevens, who was the founder of our ministry more than 50 years ago, was not a foreign missionary, but he was here in America, in New England, up in Maine and Massachusetts, Maryland, also later on when we moved here. And why did missions happen in our church? Why did we go out? We started our Bible school and trained men and women in the faith. And why did it happen in our hearts that by faith we would go and share the message? And the answer is what the first part of our message is, this one, that we saw as we were sitting in place like this 40 years ago, more, we saw the glory of God. This is the key, not a program, a duty, obligation, hard work, dedication, more, something deeper, something amazing. Turn with me to Isaiah 6 with me, please, for an introductory thought, just to for you to follow. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. You know, do you see it? Of course, who was King Uzziah? Well, actually, he was actually a good king. He made a mistake, a serious one, and that's an important part of the story for another message. But the primary point here is that Isaiah loved this king. And this king was, for more or less, well, much of his life, a godly king. And in the year he died, I could, like the time anybody dies, in the year that my wife died, or child died, or my friend died, or my pastor died, the year that we had COVID, the year that we had a time of confusion, the year that I lost my house, the year that I found I had cancer, the year that my heart was broken. This is the idea. Verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. That's the two things. The one, life, real life, hard life maybe, troubled life, life of excuses, a life of I can't do it, a life of, you know, where is this taking us to, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. You might say, well, that's amazing that happened to him, but that's never happened to me. That's great for Isaiah. He saw the Lord. And look at verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. So he saw angels, high designated angels with six wings. There are angels without wings. There are angels with two wings, four wings, six wings. And we understand that some theologians say this has to do with their rank. The more the wings, the higher the rank or higher the authority. So these are highly honored creatures. And with twain he covered his face, twain he covered his feet, twain he did fly. This is a text for another time, but I want you to see, they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." And to be honest, this is where we suffer. We suffer a lot in life because we don't see anything other than our trouble. We don't see anything other than, you know, where I live, what's happening to me, how it affects me and my family, and that's all that I have. But there's something that came into your life that was never there before when you believed in Jesus Christ. And what was it? These words, "Holy, holy, holy." That changed my life when I could say "holy" with meaning and freedom and joy and peace. Holy, holy, holy. That's the thing that's missing in this world that is cursed by sin. The opposite of holy is really filth and perversion and defilement and pride and sin and alienation and loneliness and emptiness. There is no holiness here. There's only the curse of sin and the condition of man's heart. And he's missing something. And the year, we could write it this way, the year that King Uzziah died, I went to the cemetery and I wept. And I was heartbroken and I went home and nothing changed. Just the dread and the weight and the dark cloud. I heard Winston Churchill called depression his dark dog. There's a dark dog in your life. There's a darkness that is in the world. At Mount Sinai, it was dark, and there was lightning, and there was fear and death at Mount Sinai. We read in Hebrews 12. But Christ came to give us something. And this is what we want to say today. There was a Moravian movement, the Moravians, and by the way, we live at Moravia Park Drive. I mean, not live, but we are here in our church, and some of us do, we live here. We don't sleep here, usually, but we are living here. This is our, and then Moravia Road. Moravians were from a part of Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, a district called Moravia. And the Moravians were founded by an aristocratic nobleman called Count Zinzendorf. And his early missionary interest was coming from his newfound passion for Christ. He was an aristocratic nobleman, landowner, and he decided to take some of his land and make a village for Christians that were also persecuted. And they came and they fell the tree 1722 to build their first cottage. The village was called Herrnhut. And from there, for 150 years, hundreds of these Christians went to the foreign mission field. And they were remarkable people. William Wilberforce, the great evangelical English social reformer, wrote about them. "They are a body who have perhaps excelled all mankind in solid and unequivocal proofs of the love of Christ and ardent, active zeal in his service. It is a zeal tempered with prudence, softened with meekness, supported by a courage which no danger can intimidate, and a quiet certainty no hardship can exhaust." They worked. They went to South America, South Africa, China, Labrador, St. Thomas in the Caribbean. They went to China. I mentioned China, many places, Greenland. They went through ice and snow for one poor lost soul. They were very hardworking, dedicated people. One of them, David Zeisberger, labored 62 years among the Huron Indians here in North America. On one occasion, he preached, the church and compound were invaded by bands of Indians, and they burned the village down, and his work, his manuscripts of scripture translations, hymns, and all the notes on the grammar for the Indian languages, they were all burned. But like William Carey, who was to go through that later in India, years later, from a fire, taking all the language notes out, he just, in quiet submission to the overruling providence of God, set his hand and heart to the work again. Okay, so we have the first point. I want to see the glory of God. And though Dr. Stevens did not become a foreign missionary, but was a missionary here, but what he helped us in understanding and experiencing in our hearts was to see the Lord high and lifted up, and to hear the word that would change our lives. Turn to Deuteronomy 11, please. In verse 18, this is good instruction for our families. I'm talking to fathers and mothers who have children, and then, of course, every one of us, all of us who are here today. Verse 18, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your hearts and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Words go in our mind in a way they are between our eyes, right in the front. And these words are also on our hand, so we have them on our hand, the back of your hand. When you're working, you have the word on your door, the doorposts of your house. You have the word, you have them between your eyes, so when you look in the mirror, you see the word of God. When you look at yourself, you see the word of God. You see it backwards in the mirror, but you get the idea that you see the word, and it's in your mind and in your identity, in you, who you are as a person, and it doesn't leave you. It is written in your heart with a pen of iron, Job 19, with goads and nails in a temple in Ecclesiastes 12. The word of God written in your heart and in your soul. This is what's lacking in our society today. We have iPhones and movies and entertainment and sports and everything to fill our mind, our time, our conversations, our talk, everything. But do we have God's word? Verse 19, and you shall teach them your children. All right? And you shall teach them your children. What? They came out of Egypt. And the child says, Daddy, tell me, what happened? They came out of Egypt. Who did? The Jews. We did. Our family. Our family. You mean our family was in Egypt? Yes. We were slaves. No houses, no land, no right to vote, no money, no articles of clothing, nothing. No silver, no gold, nothing. We were slaves in Egypt. Dad, what happened? We came out. And a great army pursued us. But God is greater than Egypt. God is greater than the diseases in Egypt, Exodus 15:24. God is greater than Pharaoh in Egypt. Well, how did it happen? Well, we came through the Red Sea. Tell me about that. Is that true? Did it happen? Verse 19. You shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house. When you sit in your house, you got to say, everybody turn all the electronics off. Everybody put all the devices go in the basket. Now, everybody, you pay attention to Dad. Dad is talking and telling a story that we were Jews in Egypt. We came out by God. There's no way that could happen. But God did it. God did it. The Moravians were Christians like you and I in the 18th century. They had every reason not to do anything except stay home, have a farm, be a carpenter. But they overcame every obstacle. Even there was a time when they had no ship because it's landlocked, Czech. So they would go to Denmark to catch a ship. There wasn't, so they built their own ship. They built a ship to sail to the mission field. How can you overcome all these things? By seeing the glory of God and knowing God and hearing the word of God and hiding it in our heart and teaching it to our children. Because that word that is taught into the heart of a child stays by God's grace. You know, that's... We'll see that in a minute. Look at verse 19. Speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. When we walk by the way, we talk about Moses. Manna came down from heaven. We ate manna. What? Yes, manna. We had no food. Manna came every morning. Every morning? Yeah. What was it? We called it. Isn't manna, doesn't that word mean what is it? Yeah, what is it? We didn't know. It was just, what is it? And they ate it. What is it? That's all that we're eating today. What are you going to eat today for breakfast? What is it is what we're eating. What is it? Did God do that? He did. And then our shoes did not wear out. The child says, what? Dad, did the shoes wear out? No. How come they didn't wear out? Because of God. You mean God is in all those things? He's in everything. God. And Moses went up with all the people, and there were 12 spies went over, and 10 came back with bad report. And God had them turn around and go back into the wilderness. Why? Because God said, I lead you so that you learn to live not by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. What else happened? Well, after 40 years, they went back. What, did they die? Yes, they died, but their children did not die. Their children went up into the promised land like God promised. What else happened? Joshua took the promised land. And 31 kings were defeated by the Jews. And even big, mighty kings like Og. Say that word with me, Og. Og. Say it, it's O-G. Og, Og. He probably walked like this. Oh. Probably walked like that. Og. He was a mighty king. But it doesn't matter. If God is with you, if God is with you on the mission field, are there Muslims there? Are there communists there? Are there secularists there? Yeah, it doesn't matter. All those kings are subject to God. And the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Don't you know that there are so many people that have drug problems? There's human trafficking, there's pestilences, there's infections, there's bad governments. Don't you know that we cannot go to the mission field? Well, wait, what are we talking about when we walk along the way? when we sit in our house, when we're talking to our children. What are they hearing from us? Oh, life is hard. Oh, COVID is, COVID is like Og. And we cannot do a thing. We cannot do anything. That's like the word, that's just a great message for the natural man. Uzziah died. In the year that King Uzziah died, we retreated into our hole. We backed off. We went to sleep on the couch. We gave up. We quit. We shut up. We shut down. It's over. It's done. Why? Because there's no talking about the stone being rolled away and the Christ coming out of the tomb and Peter walking on water and Peter coming out of a prison cell when 16 men were guarding him in Acts 12, and 5,000 people eating a good supper. Guys, our God fed them. Our God spoke to them. Our God is a minister. Our God cares about us. Our God is alive. We believe. The Moravians, you can't go. We don't have any ship. We can build our own. When they go over, they have this joy. They get to work, and it's all for souls. The great mission, the great vision of the church today is to reach people with the gospel. The great thing that for all of us to learn and talk about in our homes is not the weirdness that is in this world where they talk strange things. Now, wait a minute. I got something to say here. Wait a minute. Don't check out on my message yet. In a few minutes, I'll give you permission. But right now, don't check out. Wait a minute. The Jews were with Canaanite people, Philistines. They had different gods, Chemosh and Molech, and different gods. And they did all kinds of things. But it's like our country today. We have all kinds of messages, all kinds of gods. There's many gods. I'm going to joke now. This is just joking to stimulate. There's a God, the Walmart God. Has anybody been to the temple called Walmart? And is there a priest in there? The Walmart priest that's doing service in the Walmart temple, or the Starbucks temple, and the barista. What are they saying in these temples? Many messages, many things. Buy this, you will be happy. Do this, you will be cool. You'll be accepted. I say this thing and we will accept you. Believe this way and this is the way we are. Get with the program. This is the way it is. But God is saying, Deuteronomy says, our God is not, our rock is not their rock. Our God is not their God. Our God is a greater God. He doesn't give me happiness. He gives me holiness. He doesn't give me foolishness. He gives me wisdom. I know that a man is a man and a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. I know this. How do I know it? Because it is written. But there are many voices today in this world, aren't there? But what are we talking about? They say what they say, and that's the way it is. That's okay. That's the way the Canaanites talk. That's the way the Philistines, and here it is. Lord said, if you are a Jew, you will become like them. You'll become like the Canaanites. You'll become like the Philistines unless you follow me. Love me with all your heart. I will show you something else. I will overcome the enemy. I'll put you up on high places. And remember that in Deuteronomy. I like this. I used to have a ramp, a thing. I could go up high. I wonder if I can do that without falling down. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, oh, that's it. That was tough. Wait a minute. Deuteronomy 33 says, you will walk on their high places. The Canaanites and the Philistines had high places of worshiping their gods. But to the Jews, he said, I will push your enemy out in front of you, and you will see they are liars. You are a liar. God tells the truth. Man doesn't. Man left to himself, he'll be left to his own devices. And he'll just live in his own way. So that's it. Let's go close. Turn to Acts, please, with me. And 14. I think in a couple of years I won't be able to do what I just did. But that was later they'll be calling 911. We just know that. They'll be, I broke a leg. Okay. One down. Okay, 911. Look at chapter 14 and verse 19. There came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Let's take a moment and digest this. Paul's on the mission field. He ran into opposition. They stoned him. They thought he was dead. It's over. The mission ended. Paul is dead. We tried. Guess God wasn't in it. Or he died. That's the end. It's over. That's maybe how we could say things can go. You know. We hit a wall, it ended. Maybe we could do that, say that, and think like that. It's over, it's ended, it's done. You know? That's it. But I say, what, Dad, what did you say? Dad says, we were slaves in Egypt. And we came out because of God. What did you say? Jesus Christ was buried in a tomb. And he came out. And he ascended up into heaven. And he gave Pentecost. He gave the Holy Spirit. And people became believers. The very people that crucified him, that cried, crucify, were the very people that repented and believed in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And there were 3,000 of them in one day. How did that happen? God did it. God visited Jerusalem with a spiritual revival. What does the United States of America need? Not like the social reform effort, okay, a moral life, I agree, I want morality. But it's not going to happen. That's not going to happen in the degree that it is needed for a heart to be changed, for a person to be saved, for their sins to be forgiven, for them to see the glory of God, for them to be spirit-filled, for them to find Jesus Christ as the answer. Moral reformation, fine, but that's not the answer for our country. Or my life. I can make all kinds of efforts. I've done that. It did not change my life. Christ changed my life. And then ever since, learning to speak about him, learning to think about him, learning, and then we walk on the high places of the enemy, and we say, you are not my God. I have another God. And even if Paul is stoned, look at what happened in verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, if you could imagine the man down, he's down, he's been stoned, and the disciples stand around him, and they're looking at him. And we don't know what was, maybe they prayed, maybe they worshiped, maybe they cried. We don't know, but we just know that when we are together and we and two or three are that and Jesus is in our midst, there's no limit to who our God is and what our God will do. I remember being there many times back in the Soviet Union days where we were going and taking trips in and smuggling Bibles and holding Bible studies and doing underground work with the underground church and making our efforts in the 70s and the 80s. And thinking if it would ever open up, we will move here. And in 1989, it opened up and we moved to Hungary in 1990. And then in the same similar thing, we just were a team and we're standing together and there's a spirit of God and we talk about God, not about the Hungarians. You know, I met some missionaries when we were in Hungary. There was a meeting for the missionaries that were in Hungary and the talk was this way. Oh, the Hungarians are not believers. They are atheists. They say 87% of them are atheists. And I'm like looking at the whole thing, and I say, I don't know what country you are living in. I have no idea what you're talking about. This is the most open, the most receptive country I've ever been in. That people are coming to Christ in large numbers. That when we're preaching on the street, there'd be 50, 80, even sometimes a crowd of a couple hundred people listening to us preach the message. And it was a joy. It was amazing. So there was two languages. Uzziah died. Og is like, he's shaped the way his name is. He's Og. It can't happen. We have problems. We have issues. I always find that interesting. Sometimes how we have problems. We have issues. Wait a minute. Did God bring the Jews out of Egypt? Did he feed them in the wilderness? Did their shoes wear out? Did Peter walk on water? Did he feed 5,000? Did he roll back the stone? Is he ascended into heaven? Has he sent power down to us? Is it in our heart? Do we believe his word and what he has said? Has it happened? So look at the text here, verse 20. It says, when they stood around him, he rose up, verse 20, and came into the city. And by the way, get in the midst of a group of disciples and you'll rise up too. You feel you got one foot in the grave, and probably you do. But have the disciples stand around you. It'll retard death, slow it down. It'll quicken you. It'll give you purpose. It'll speak to your heart, enlighten your mind. The word of God, the entry of your word gives light, understanding to the simple. And it quickens us. Missions is the best kept secret in the world. Missions is so awesome. And this summer, Julius Thompson and a group of the singers are going to do a tour. I think they go to Kentucky, Ohio. They go around. They come back. I think they're in Virginia. They do a tour for a week or two. And then there's New Orleans. There's a missions to New Orleans with Pastor Ronaldo. And then maybe, pardon? Arkansas with Pastor Adam Speedy and Pastor Ronaldo. And then, in our country, we need it. We need it. Now, I heard Youth with a Mission, they do missions in the United States. And then I heard that one of the most open places they found was in Seattle, Washington. That many people coming to Christ in Seattle. Why? I don't know, but that's been they've been burning and rioting and all kinds of liberal and secular ideas and everything. But that does not stop our God. We are living in a world that doesn't know God. They are like the Canaanites and the Philistines. But let's interview David. David, what did you do? Oh, my enemies are under my feet. God has made me a king. I am conquering and overcoming. And the lie is not greater than the word, the name, the nature, Psalm 101. And those that turn aside will not cleave to me, Psalm 101. But I've set the Lord before my face, and I'll have no evil thing in my house, because I have found something higher and greater than any evil thing that is in my house. Moms and dads, check your iPads and your iPhones and everything that your kids are watching and listening to and following. Guys, it's weird. It's straight up weird. It's crazy. Turn your TV off sometimes. What are you hearing and listening? And is it upsetting you? Is it driving you? Is there fear? Is there reaction? Is there hatred? Is there jealousy? Is there frustration? Maybe. Isaiah died, but I saw the Lord. My dad told me, I'm not saying literally, but in principle, my dad told me when we were sitting down and we're talking along the way, and he told me about how great God is. You may not always see it in a miraculous way, but be sure he is with you. You might not see a miracle, but God is with you in every footstep. Everything going on in your life, trust him with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Do not attack the brethren. Do not turn on each other. Do not be angry with each other, but be very forgiving and very loving, because this is the nature of God and very true. Go to the next one, please. We read to the end and it will be finished. Verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, so Paul was stoned, but it didn't stop the mission. They kept going. They went to the next city and they taught many. And they returned again to Lystra. That's the place he was stoned. It's kind of like this. I'll make a little diagram of it. Here's Lystra. They go to Derbe. This place, this is in present-day Turkey. And now they could have kept going and just gone back to their mission. Or they could have gone back this way to the coast to catch a ship out of there. But he didn't. He was stoned here. He was stoned here. They went here. And they went back. Why did they go back to the very place he was stoned? Because it didn't matter that much to him. Because he saw something. He was on a mission. Because people got saved in Lystra. This is in Lystra. And he wanted to go back and see them. He wanted to go back and fearing what would happen was not driving his life. If I go up to Greenland, a polar bear might eat me. Yeah, that's true. But so you can calculate, and a snake might bite me. I might get a disease. A crazy man might kill me. Any number of things. Yeah, that's true. But if that's how you live, and that's how you make decisions, then that's your business. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about something that's bigger than death, bigger than fear and demons and diseases and problems. It's bigger. And Paul is our example. He went back, and so look at it with me. It says, they went back, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Nobody could have preached that message better than Paul. Hey, it's pretty tough. I was stoned. I was knocked down. I was unconscious. But I want to tell you, this is the way it rolls. This is the way it happens. I don't promise you a rose garden, but we promise you Christ, the living God. I don't know what's going to happen to you, but embrace him and follow him. You can trust him. That's the way it is. Oh, grave, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? This is the way it is. Our God does great and mighty things. And in Psalm 44, it says there that we might be even as sheep led to the slaughter. But later in Romans 8, Paul said, though we are as sheep led to the slaughter, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. These are words, ancient city names. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. I wonder what that means. They went through back, they're making their way back through these cities and areas to the harbor to catch the boat to go back to their home church. As they're going back, the grace of God is commending them. It means you couldn't find a happier group of people. The glory of God is on these people. They are so encouraged. They say, missions, the Gentiles are hearing us. They are coming to Christ. We are excited. It's like us when we went to the Soviet Union and the wall, Iron Curtain fell, and we had rap sessions with 100 people, and people would stay until 3 in the morning asking questions about the Bible. And it was amazing outpouring and work of grace there. And many of our brothers, like Vince was there, Newcomb, Steve Doff, many of us, I was there, Carl Stevens was there, many. And we could say, and Jim Sebo, who passed away a week ago, and went to be with the Lord, and I was with him as he was in those last days. And he said, you know, and we had talked about it, but he said, the highlight of my life, the greatest thing I ever did in my life was to be a missionary to Finland. Those were the days. What God did, how God spoke, what God did, it was all by his great grace. And I'm saying today, and we're kind of taking this day to make a statement where it's in our mind. There's nothing stopping us. We believe in it. We can do it in America. We can do it around the world. We have done it, are doing it, and by God's grace, we'll continue to do it. And why? Are you highly motivated people? Are you really strong? Are you very disciplined? Are you very... why are you doing it? Is it about building an organization? Is it about... what is it? And we said, no. None of those things. Pastor Stevens was not interested in building an organization. He was interested in people seeing the glory of God. If I can see the Lord high and lifted up, I'll be healed. I'll have a message. I'll have a ministry. I can say, I forgive you. If we can see the Lord high and lifted up, we can overcome our enemies. And the small little things that people fear are nothing under our feet. We are on their high places. They say, stay down there. Stay down. Don't even think about it. I will come and get you. I will send COVID into your house. Yeah, stay back. You cannot do it. There'll be a car accident. And we have lost people that way, by the way, in the world by car, missionaries in a car accident. There'll be a prison cell. That happens, by the way. There'll be a sickness of some kind. Stay back. Whoa. You'll be a poor man. Poverty. That's where you belong. You are nothing. You are nothing. And we go, little child says, Daddy, what happened to our people? Our people were slaves in Egypt. There was no way out. Hundreds of years. And we cried to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he heard us. And he sent Moses. And we came out of Egypt by God. God brought us out of Egypt. It was God that took my drug addiction away. It was God that changed my heart and gave me a heart of flesh. No, it was God in Tennessee, Kentucky, Washington, California, Texas. It doesn't matter what everybody is saying about this world. It doesn't matter to you and I. We have Jesus Christ who has sent us and commissioned us to bear fruit and promote his name. I would say the thing I would fear is that I would not have his name. I think his name protects me. His name is a tool used in the world. I think the greatest thing we have is the gospel. I think the gospel changes a life. I know it does. We know it does. It's the gospel. That's the answer. And that's the mission. Look at the last verse. It says, when they got back to Antioch, verse 27, they gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. But did they tell them about Paul being stoned? It doesn't say that, but I'm sure that's in there. And by the way, the Gentiles are very open to the gospel. But by the way, you should have seen it when Paul was stoned to death. And we thought he was a goner and it was over. But we gathered around him, and he started to move, and he sat up, and we realized, and we went on. The stories that can be told. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Maybe somebody here this morning was looking for that new heart, that changed heart. You might be hard-hearted. That happens. Even to us believers, we can be hard-hearted. But I need the not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. Maybe a new friend who could have a heart of flesh I could have a new friend who would have a heart of flesh and be able to talk to me heart to heart. Maybe my fears that I have in life about my future. Maybe I could be a young person and I'm concerned about my future, and the answer is that God loves you. And that he's real. And you can trust him. Not religiously, but more deeply, personally. Creator of the universe loves you. Maybe you could say, maybe there's somebody here today that's saying in your life, I don't know what I just need. Jesus, please show me. I want to see the Lord high lifted up and his glory fill the temple. Yes, we pray for that, Lord, in our congregation today. Every person here is precious. Every person, God loves every one of us. God is for every one of us. And say to him in your heart, just in your own way to God, say, Lord, I believe in you. I want to know you better. Yeah, fill me with your spirit and teach me. I trust you. Walk by faith in him. Make good decisions by faith. And then find a good church and go and be fed and grow and faith to faith. And if this is your place, this is great. This just be here faithfully. And grow from faith to faith, your life will change, and God will show it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.